Today, the cracks in the machine. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Wealth Notice Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, as you know, I have been arguing for a long time that the Reserve Bank tends to do a lot of averaging in its reporting of household finances and also use rather elderly data from, for example, the Hilda survey to try and justify their position. And, well, they've provided a bit more information this time around, but there are still quite a few questions that are worth asking about it. And in fact, the Reserve Bank of Australia has warned that tens of thousands of borrowers on variable rate mortgages will wipe out their buffers within 6 months if interest rates rise in line with market forecasts, even if households dramatically cut their spending. According to the RBA's biannual financial stability review, about 8% of borrowers would completely drain their mortgage prepayments within months if the official interest rate rises to 3.6% in the next year, even if they slash their discretionary spending by 80%. 20% of homeowners are facing an increase in mortgage payments to 30% of their income, and low-income households and recent first home buyers are the most at risk of mortgage stress, as they are most likely to have smaller prepayment buffers and less discretionary spending to draw down on. The RBA, of course, on Tuesday increased the cash rate for a sixth straight month by 0.25 percentage points, taking it to 2.6 points in 5 months. Financial markets are betting that it will peak around 3.6% in June next year. The 250 basis points, or 2.5 percentage point increase since early May, is important, as it was the mandated serviceability buffer used by almost 200,000 first home buyers between September 2020 and October 2021. And although the central bank says the financial system is in a strong position, the RBA's analysis showed painful times are ahead for many borrowers. Higher interest rates and inflation will slow aggregate household consumption and the pace of economic growth more broadly, but the direct financial stability risks posed by vulnerable borrowers appear modest, the RBA's health check of the financial system said. A large increase in unemployment combined with a historically large decline in housing prices, though, would pose a more material risk to loan arrears and defaults, and therefore financial stability. After 2.5 percentage points of rate increases, 40% of variable rate borrowers will not have to increase their monthly repayments, and 50% will not have an increase in payments of more than 20%. But 20%, that's one in five, will face an increase in mortgage payments to 30% of their income. If interest rates increase to 3.5% in line with market forecasts, 25% of all variable loan borrowers would have to pay 30% of their income on mortgage payments. That figure could be higher if the jobless rate rises and wages do not increase as expected. Variable rate home loans account for around 65% of outstanding mortgage credit, but the looming risk is how a wave of borrowers that took on ultra-low fixed rate loans will fare, as two-thirds are scheduled for refinancing before the end of 2023, and they'll be faced with a jump of between 3 and 4 percentage points in interest rates. If interest rates rise as projected, 60% of borrowers will face a 40% increase in payments, and the central bank acknowledges there is limited information to assess whether fixed-rate borrowers will experience difficulty with these increased minimum payments, as there's no visibility as to the extent of their savings. Although much of the analysis focused on borrowers, the RBA said renters would face acute strains from higher payments and increased inflation, and there were indications that some businesses were being pressurised by rising costs and higher interest rates, particularly in construction, transport and education. And a part of its review, the Reserve Bank conducted detailed scenario analysis of how household cash flows would withstand the hit of higher inflation and rising interest rates. Although most households are likely to be able to weather increased pressure on their finances for some time, many will need to curtail their consumption and could ultimately see their savings exhausted. And the analysis said half of variable loan borrowers would see their spare cash decline by more than 20%, and 15% would experience negative cash flows. Some households, it said, would struggle to keep up to date on mortgage payments. And about half of all variable borrowers could meet payments and essential expenses for 2 years, by drawing down on their buffers. If households were to cut back non-essential spending by 20%, the proportion of households that could meet expenses for 2 years rose to 70%. But worryingly, the RBA said 8% of owner-occupied variable rate borrowers would fully exhaust their prepayment buffers within 6 months, even if they cut non-essential spending by 80%. And about 40% of those borrowers are in the lowest quartile of income distribution. And the RBA said that as yet there was limited signs in the official data of financial stress, but leading indicators were flashing. These include household surveys, increased Google searches relating to stress, and negative press reports that the RBA said have historically borne some relationship with loan arrears. The bank's liaison program also reported increased demand for social and community services, such as low-cost housing and goods. The Reserve Bank has often referred to the fact that the median home loan borrower has 22 months of buffers saved up, but it said the increase in interest rates had shaved 2 months off this measure since April. Recent borrowers are more vulnerable to debt servicing challenges and default in a rising interest rate environment as they have less time to accumulate liquidity and equity buffers. And its securitization dataset said about half of home buyers who took out a loan since 2021 have less than 3 months prepayment buffers. These borrowers also have the highest loan-to-value ratios, while their greater level of indebtedness makes them more sensitive to interest rate increases. The sharp increase in interest rates has raised concerns about the implications for Australia's property market. Last month, the Reserve Bank's Jonathan Cairns warned that homeowners in expensive suburbs should brace for the biggest declines in value. Now, in its April financial stability review, the bank said house prices could fall by 15% if interest rates increased with market expectations. That was before the RBA lifted interest rates from its 0.1% emergency setting. Friday's document did not detail any analysis on house prices, but it comes about a week after the Bank of England was forced to intervene in the gilts market as pension funds faced margin calls on interest rate derivatives that threatened to overwhelm its financial markets. The rapid scramble for cash has been felt in Australia as UK funds have sold almost $1 billion of Australian asset-backed securities, while ASX-listed fund Magellan was hit with a big institutional investor redemption. The Reserve Bank laid out three main risks to financial stability pressurising cash flows and asset values. One was that financial conditions could tighten further if inflation proves more persistent. A second risk was that defaults could accelerate, weakening the balance sheet of banks. And the third threat has become more pertinent, actually, cyber attacks that could undermine confidence in financial institutions. This, it said, was a point underscored by the recent attack on Optus. It is probable that a significant financial institution or market infrastructure will be subjected to a successful attack at some point, given the increased sophistication and frequency of cyber attacks, the RBA said. And more builders will fail as rising interest rates increase cost pressures in the sector that has already jumped to account for about 30% of all company insolvencies, the Reserve Bank said. Rising debt servicing costs will add to the pressures many building companies face from material costs and has risen 20% since the start of last year alone, as well as from weather delays on site, the bank said in its financial stability review. Companies across the chain have run down their cash reserves, and while larger builders have more flexibility to pass costs on to developer clients, those caught with fixed price contracts to residential home buying customers don't have the same leeway, the central bank said. Further insolvencies are expected in the near term as many builders continue to work through fixed-price contracts taken on when costs were substantially lower and as higher interest rates increase debt servicing costs, the bank said. Moreover, new and existing fixed-price contracts remain exposed to further increases in input costs. Company failures hit a 2.5-year high in July, driven up by construction industry failures. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission data showed last month, and the string of collapses that has ranged from large commercial builder ProBuild to small-scale home builders has already triggered scrutiny over the way risks are shared between parties in the chain. Direct bank exposure to building and construction services is low, less than $40 billion or 0.8% of total bank assets in August, and arrears on construction company loans remained low as of March, meaning industry collapses posed only a limited risk to the banking system, the RBA said. However, The close financial reliance businesses have on each other magnifies the risks, the bank warned. Financial stress can quickly spread from troubled builders to these construction services businesses through delays or defaults on payments for work already done, it said. For the medium builder, around 40% of total liabilities were short-term unsecured trade credit, i.e. unpaid invoices, in June 2020, about twice as much as for other businesses. So far, at least, they say, there was little transmission of financial problems from builders to subcontractors. Liaison with banks suggests that the majority of subcontractors affected by recent builder insolvencies have been able to absorb disruptions to their cash flows using their cash reserves or existing lines of credit, and some have been able to access additional credit, it said. Subcontractors have also responded to higher risks by shortening payment times for builders, thereby reducing their stock of trade credit exposures at any given time. And separate figures from data company CoreLogic on Friday showed residential house building costs jumped 11% over the year to September, up from 10% over the four quarters to June, and well above the 7.1% growth recorded a year earlier. And national home prices are expected to drop 20% overall from their peak, with the bulk of the decline to come next year for most capitals except Sydney, where the correction has hit harder and earlier, according to NAB. The bank's quarterly survey of the residential property market has been released in the same week as the RBA's decision to lift rates by a smaller than expected 25 basis points. The move buoyed equity investors and real estate pundits. Sydney will have absorbed the bulk of forecast house price falls this year, but there is more pain to come for other cities. But NAB chief economist Alan Oster said the staging of the rate increases, the official cash rate is now 2.6%, has made little impact on NAB's overall expectations of a terminal rate of 3.1%, at which the RBA would likely pause to take stock. And he warned that despite the slowing pace of rate rises, their full impact has yet to be properly felt by borrowers. It takes time, Mr. Oster said. Most people so far have not paid very much at all in terms of the increased rates. Most of the notices we're sending out recently or now, and so they're paying them in October, November, and so that's when the rubber hits the road. NAB expects housing prices in Sydney, housing and units combined, to fall 12.9% this year and 9.4% next year. Melbourne prices are forecast to drop 9.1% this year and 14.1% next year, and Brisbane will slip into negative territory this year before declining 9.4% in 2023 on NAB's forecasts. The correction is yet to arrive in Adelaide, however, which is expected to post a 9.9% gain this year ahead of a savage reversal next year of 16.3%. And higher interest rates, which result in a significant reduction in borrowing power, are the key driver for falls in property prices, NAB noted in its survey. For aspiring buyers, it's not just the size of the loan that is high on the agenda, but also the issue of whether a property needs renovations. The rising cost of renovations is having a quite significant influence and has encouraged people to buy fully renovated properties, according to the survey. A different story is playing out in the rental markets, though, which is tightening significantly as vacancy rates fall. Rents rose in the third quarter, unexpected to grow by a solid 3.5% in the next 12 months and 3.8% in 2 years' time nationally, according to NAB. With rents growing faster than housing prices, gross yields should improve, with rents outstripping prices in all states, NAB said. So put all this together. There are clearly rising pressures among households. I still think the RBA is understating the true extent of them. And once again, of course, it's the distribution which is the problem, because you have to look down at the individual granularity of households. The other point to make is that with the securitisation data, it's worth underscoring that those are hand-picked loans. And therefore, if they're in trouble, you can bet your bottom dollar that other loans outside those securitisation pools are in worse shape. And the bottom line is this, that those bought recently, particularly in the last couple of years, are actually now exceeding those buffers that were put in place in terms of affordability. And many of them have not had time to accumulate much in the way of savings or support, which is why our approach, looking at total cash flow in and out at a household level, becomes so relevant now. And if you want to catch up on my analysis, I did a live show last Tuesday. I'll put the links below. We went through quite a lot of detail there. And over the next two or three days, I'll release some more analysis and some of the stress mapping. Because the point I want to leave you with is this, that it's a patchwork. There are some households doing absolutely fine, but there are also some households that are really now very much in the case of struggling. And as interest rates continue to rise, and as NAB says, these increases will continue to percolate through. And we also have the problem with the fixed rate resets over the next year. They're going to really bear down on particular suburbs. And in some of those suburbs, large proportions of households are up against it. That, of course, is where property price falls will be the most significant. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.